And good Friday morning, people of Middle Tennessee, Nashville, and the world. Welcome into the Chase and Big Joe show here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe is on assignment. He'll be back late Monday night. I took him to the airport yesterday. He is gone to places that we can't talk about. But he'll be back Tuesday with us on the show. In the meantime, Dr. Crane, me and you, man, riding the ship today.
Let's have some fun, baby. It's Friday.
It is Friday. We have, speaking of fun today, 9:15, Michelle Kennedy from the Nashville Predators will join us. Big weekend for the Preds. Big night last night that the Preds had with their big wine tasting they had. It's always a huge success. We'll talk to her at 9:15. Chris Sanders will join us at 9:30 as we get the latest about the draft coming up, which is 13 days away from now. And at 10 o'clock, a very special co-host was going to join us. He's a gigantic Chicago Bear fan. He's very famous, evidently, across the world. Ravi Patel is going to, he lives here in Nashville. He's on the Fox show Animal Control. He's going to join us at 10 o'clock hour. We're going to talk a lot of football with him. And he's evidently a big deal. Dr. Crane, I didn't know this, but he's going to join us at 10 o'clock. And this, he's done a lot of great things in his career. This might be the pinnacle of his career, his great career. This might be it.
I mean, it is a privilege to come on this show.
Yes, is it not? By the way, yesterday we got a lot of reaction to Ice Cube that was on our show yesterday. A lot of fun talking to him. And we were laughing, Chase and I. He called in, right, Nick?
He did call in.
All right, and so Chase and I have a bet. How did you address him? Don't answer yet. Did you answer Mr. Cube, Ice Cube, or Sir? How did you address him?
I said Sir.
Atta boy.
I did not know. I didn't want to say, hey, Mr. Cube, how are you this morning? Hi, Mr. Ice. I just said, man, how you doing this morning, sir?
Oh, that's great.
Then we went on there, and he said he was doing phenomenal. So
that's great. You know, when he called in himself, I knew it was going to be a good interview. When the publicist calls in, it's never good because they just – it's just, oh, you stick to – you got 4 minutes, stick to this. And like, no, I don't.
He was right on time, though, right on the dot.
It's great. Yeah. And I tell people, you know, and like, well, how does this rank as far as celebrity? I mean, it was great. I mean, he was fantastic. But – and I was telling our buddy Dagwood from The Buzz, I said, you know – within 10 seconds, whether or not somebody on that level is all in or they're not. And he was all in with us.
The thing that did it for me when I was listening, he said, do I have time for a story? Can I share a story?
Oh,
and I was
yeah.
like, yep, we got plenty of time. And sure enough, that's what, for me, makes or breaks a really good interview.
Yeah, I was like, we can go till noon if you want to. We could do that. So that was really good as well. All right, our question of the day, and I just came with this question on the way into work this morning, and I'm curious to know y'all's thoughts on this. Chase and I talked about a little bit yesterday about the Masters. And here's the thing. Are you going to watch on Sunday if Tiger Woods is not in the final round or in contention? Are you going to watch the Masters on Sunday if Tiger Woods is out of it? I am not wasting a second of my time watching the Masters if Tiger Woods isn't in it. I know I'm an idiot and I'm different, but I'm telling you, it was a great discussion we had at the gym this morning. And everybody's like, no, I'm not watching it. But these are like casual golf fans. But I'm not watching the Masters if Tiger Woods isn't in it. I don't say, I hate the phrase, well, I don't care. I'm not going to watch.
I mean, that's fair. I'll have to go the opposite way. I probably will be watching on Sunday. Just if it's on TV, I'll be watching it if somebody has it on the station. But for the main purposes, like if you look at golf now, it's, I don't want to say it's divided, but you have the LIV golfers, you have the PGA golfers, and obviously now they're a book of money going into it. You know, when you split it down the middle, it's almost like the AFC South versus – or not AFC South, the AFC versus the NFC.
Right.
And so there's that competition now. You're like, oh, man, is a LIV golfer going to win the Masters? Because correct me if I'm wrong. Hopefully I'm not. But when LIV golfers play in the Masters, it's like one of the only PGA, I guess, sanctioned tournaments
right.
that they can play. It's like one of those, like, level ground tournaments. Whereas, you know, PGA golfers, they play in their own tournaments. LIV golfers have their own
yeah.
tournaments. So, like, it's just kind of those common grounds where they all can compete together. And I just feel like that's something, it's must-see TV. You know, everybody's like, well, are the million-dollar LIV golfers going to win the Masters this year? That's kind of the big, headline for me when I watch golf now.
Do we have a Masters? How did Tiger do yesterday? I don't know any of this.
I believe he went even or one under, one of the two. Yeah, Tiger's just not.
So where does he rank now? Oh, here it is. I'm so lazy. I can pull it up here.
That's okay, Joe.
DeChambeau, I like that name, though. He's 7 under. He goes off at 10:50 today.
Yep, Bryson DeChambeau, a LIV golfer. He's in the lead. And then you have Scottie Scheffler, who is a PGA golfer. Each are probably top in their respected leagues. So then you look at that, you're like, oh, top versus the top.
So I'm trying to find out where you said Tiger's shot even yesterday.
Yeah, Tiger's probably near the bottom. I hate to say it.
All right. Well, I mean, look, if you like the Masters, enjoy, that's great. I mean, I'm not gonna do it.
No, I was asking Robbie before his show was over, in between one of the breaks. I'm like, when is it done? When is Tiger done with this? Like, obviously, he's made the comments of, if I can't walk the full course anymore, then yeah, that's when, you know, I'm done with golf type thing. But like, everybody wants to see him win that next major, just to get to that record. And like, it's just, it doesn't look like it's in the reachable or tangible just area, right, for him to get there.
And that's when you count him out, that's when he comes back and wins.
This is true.
So we'll do it. Anyway, that's our question. You're going to watch the Masters on Sunday if Tiger Woods is not in. And I thought about putting the Kentucky question out there, because evidently they set their sights on a new basketball coach. And you Kentucky fans have lost your mind in the Greg Schiano way. I mean, you have lost your mind over this hiring, the same way Tennessee fans revolted over Greg Schiano. And I got friends up in Kentucky, and they're like, this is bad. We don't want Mark Pope, who's the coach at BYU. So supposedly, they're really close to getting a deal for the Kentucky basketball. But I don't know who – I mean, nobody wants that job with the pressure that goes with it. Scott Drew turned it down yesterday, the Baylor coach, and said he's, you know, God told him to stay at Baylor, and probably a lot of money told him to stay at Baylor too as well. So he'll stick there doing that, and so I don't know, but you Kentucky fans, I mean, that's the thing, is that Mark Pope, I don't know a lot about Mark Pope, but you know he played at Kentucky, and a lot of people are like, we don't care if he played at Kentucky, he just wanted a good basketball coach. So I don't know, where do you stand on that, with Mark Pope being allegedly the new head coach at Kentucky after John Calipari was one step ahead of the Jailer and headed over to Arkansas to be there, and he had his press conference yesterday, and he's doing the same old spiel about – it's time, new voice in Lexington, I'm excited to be here, and da-da-da-da, and all that other stuff. So if you fall for that again, that's on you. That's not on me with that as well. So as soon as they make kind of an announcement today, what's going on with Mark Pope gets a job at Kentucky. But Kentucky fans, sources, Kentucky nearing a 5-year deal with Mark Pope to be the head coach. Why don't you guys like him, Kentucky fans? I don't understand. Evidently, it's like he's never won a NCAA game, and that was a big problem there as well for taking over a program like Kentucky. He's a 1996 graduate.
And a national championship winner.
Yeah.
In 96.
Yeah, won a national title there. So, I mean, do you not want one of your own, right? I mean, isn't that what you do? It's like, we get one of our own. And sometimes that backfires, but he's one of yours.
To me, Joe, it's just more of a safe hire. That's exactly what it is for Kentucky fans. Well, not fans, but for the Kentucky, you know, athletic directors and so forth, and the head honcho roles. This is a safe hire for them, and all the Kentucky fans, like you're saying, they're going to Greg Schiano this. It's going to be null and void to some degree. I mean, if this will get out of hand. And people say it's probably already out of hand. Oh, no, it's going to get worse.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was immersed in that Schiano story in December of 2017, and it was chaos. By the way, you guys already weighing on our text line, 615-737-1025, and our friend at 3946 says Tiger only played 7 holes yesterday. Because there was that delay, so they played 7 holes.
Yeah, there was a rain delay, and then, you know, you only have so much sunlight and all that stuff. So, I believe that's the unfortunate thing, and again, if I'm wrong, somebody correct me, but if you shoot really bad in your first round, I believe you have the, like, earlier tee time the second day. So, I don't know how that's going to be good for Tiger.
Really? That's how they reward you with that?
I believe so, yeah. Because, like, Scheffler and DeChambeau obviously were the top two that finished in the first round, so they're teeing off later this morning, I think, like 10:30 Eastern or something. So, with that being said, Tiger's leg, I don't know how it's going to hold up with all that stress of walking continuously. Like, that's bad. That's, like, 20-plus holes for him.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot. But
have you seen his physique lately? He's all upper body. I mean, if you looked at him from the waist up, he could be a linebacker.
That's where I'll look at him from the waist up. So I'm not looking anywhere.
Well, I'm just.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah, he's how the kids call it today. He's swole. Is that how you say it today?
He's jacked.
He's jacked.
Massive.
All right, so you're weighing in. 0247 says, we'll watch a little, but not as enthusiastic about it. I'm with you right there. Michael and Madison only watch as long as if Tiger's out. If Brian Harmon is still in contention, because my dad put money on him to win it all. Brian, why didn't you put money on him? I'm curious about that. Well, Josh of Kentucky. Oh, we got a Kentucky. Here we go. Josh says Pope is a better coach right now than Cal. He may not be able to recruit like Cal, but he's a better X and O coach. No doubt about that. And I will not argue on that. Alex from Nashville says, oh no, Tiger played 13 holes yesterday. So do we know how many holes he played, or do we care? I don't know how many holes he played.
To be honest, Joe, I could care less about Tiger right now. I mean, he's not going to make it to Sunday.
All right, he's got to play 33 holes today. Tiger does.
That's terrible. That's bad.
So what? He's got to play 15? No way. That doesn't make sense.
He's got to play a full 18 round and then on top of what he didn't play yesterday.
So, all right, you people out there, did he play three holes, did he play seven, or did he play 12? Because I'm too lazy to Google, and this is the people's show. We want you guys to weigh and let us know how many holes he played yesterday, because I'm getting all these different responses that are coming in. 1405 says, I might watch 10 minutes of golf before trying to talk about it. This is embarrassing. Well, no, it's not. Maybe watch 10 minutes of golf. No, I'm not going to watch 10 minutes of golf, 1405. I am not. I'm not going to sit around and watch golf on a weekend. Pass.
10 minutes of golf is like one hole on television.
I'd rather go watch, hang out with Joe Rexford and watch him paint his bonus room. I'm not doing that. But thanks, 1405, for weighing in.
You do crown molding as well, Joe?
I do.
Oh, yep. Okay.
Is that teeth?
No, not the crown on the teeth. You know, the crown molding that, you know,
no,
it's in between the ceiling and the wall. You put it right there in between.
Oh, no.
I love this. It's a little fancy wood.
Maybe watch 10 minutes of golf. We're trying to talk about it. This is embarrassing. Well, if you haven't listened to our show, 1405, most stuff we do on the show is embarrassing. So thankful. We got 8955 says, y'all are painful to listen to this morning. Talk about stuff you know about. I don't know much. I mean, I know that I'm not watching golf. I know I'm not doing that today. But thanks for listening, 8955, because I'm not going to sit and watch the Masters on Saturday or Sunday and do that. 1405 weighs in again. Don't talk about it. Thanks for weighing in, buddy. All right, so keep them coming. You're going to watch the Masters on Sunday. If Tiger's not in it, you know our answer. A lot of you guys are weighing in today and tell us what you're going to do about that as well. All right, here we go. Al, thank you. Al, Tiger played 13 holes yesterday. 5 so far today. So thank you, Al, for doing that. 1405, is that better now that you know that Al is getting us up to par? No pun intended on that as well. All right, we'll take our first break this morning. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, sponsored by Omni National Hotel. We're down there yesterday. Such a great time. We're down there as well. Coming up next, it's Madam President for the Nashville Predators. Michelle Kennedy will join us. Big weekend coming up for the Nashville Predators in the playoffs. Are now right around the corner. We'll talk to her about that at 9:30. Forever Titans receiver Chris Sanders will join us as well. This is Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. All right, welcome back here to the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We got a couple of people that are hot about our hot takes about the Masters on the text line, which makes me laugh. Thank you for listening, and let's have a good time today. All right, the Nashville Predators are in the playoffs. It's a lot of fun. Smashville is alive and well and beautiful. And with that, let's bring in Michelle Kennedy from the Nashville Predators. Michelle, good morning to you.
Big Joe, we're back where we belong, in the playoffs.
Oh, is it not the best time of year?
It is, in fact, the best time of year. We are, we were really excited about an 18-game point streak, but we are even more excited about the upcoming playoffs. We're about to wrap up the first season of the hockey year and start the most important season, which is playoff season, and we couldn't be more excited.
Exactly. Playoff tickets are now available at NashvillePredators.com. Do this. Also, I love this. I looked this up. I love what you guys do. That Smashville loyal members have a 0% increase in tickets from regular season games. I'm not sure any other, there might be a couple, but none that come to mind, sports franchises that do that. Just another reason people love the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't happen often, but we are always fan first. And as we talked about what our first round pricing should be, we thought the way to demonstrate what we want to practice what we preach. And so, absolutely, Smashville Loyal members have a 0% increase for tickets for the first round. So, everybody grab those tickets, get on the train, because it's going to go a long, long way.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell people, look, if you've not experienced playoffs in Nashville, the Predators, it's almost indescribable, because the city goes crazy, the arena goes crazy. I mean, it truly is an experience. At least in my kind of time with this and watching how it goes. So it's beautiful time when they make the playoffs, Michelle.
It is indeed. We're having meetings right now talking about the different elements of game presentation. You know, our game presentation is sort of notorious throughout the league for being fun every game of the year, but we like to ramp it up during the playoffs. So make sure you come out, see what we've got in store for everybody during the playoffs. It will be a very, very fun run for sure.
I know last night you guys had the wine fest. You're a big wine enthusiast. How did it go last night?
Oh, it was great. I was seated between the Alexander Valley Vineyards rep, who was actually owner of the Alexander Valley Vineyards. Nice. And a friend of mine from a winery just down the street from Alexander Valley came in town for the event. So I had a great time drinking wonderful wine, talking about vineyards and my happy place. I've not been out there for about a year, but I need to get back out there. And last night just sort of stoked my enthusiasm for getting out there after the playoffs, which should be this summer. So it was a great night. Signature Transportation was the presenting sponsor. They were awesome. There was the coolest tricked-up van sitting on the arena floor. So it was a fun night, a very fun night.
I love it. And also, talk about fun. I mean, the F&M Bank up in Clarksville, F&M Bank Arena, you have a 10-day stretch going on. Last night, Brantley Gilbert concert. Tonight, the very funny Art Kreischer is going to be there. I mean, it's the whole thing is just taking off up there. And then Leanne Morgan's coming on. I mean, that F&M Bank Arena, Michelle, what a great thing. The concerts, the shows, the people. I mean, what a great idea to put that in Clarksville.
Yeah, you know, in the Clarksville community, I was just up there yesterday. We were meeting with the mayor of Montgomery County, and we were just talking to him about how the Clarksville community has embraced that building in a way that we couldn't have imagined. We overachieved on the number of events that we thought would be there in the course of a year. We were just telling him that that there is a double. Leanne Morgan is doing a double there next weekend, Friday, Saturday. And that it took us a decade to accomplish a double at Bridgestone Arena, and that we already have the support and the fan interest to do it within the first year of it being opened up there is absolutely incredible. We are busy, busy, busy. We've got a concert or Segura tonight at the arena. We've got a game tomorrow. We've got Jeff Dunham on Sunday. We've got Tyler Childers next Thursday and Friday. We've got Cat Williams next Saturday. And then we take a breath for a day or so to get started with the playoffs.
Oh, that's great. I know tonight I got a lot of friends headed to Clarksville. I mean, you know, Bert Kreischer is one of the top comedians in the world, and he's in Clarksville tonight. So I know that's going to be a fun night for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so last night we had Brantley Gilbert there. So it just keeps on and on. We're in our comedy era right now, apparently.
Yeah, right.
We've got Segura at the arena at our Bridgestone tonight. We've got Kreischer at F&M Bank Saturday. Dunham Sunday at Bridgestone Arena. Leanne Morgan next weekend at F&M Bank Arena. So if you want to laugh, just come to one of our venues in the next week or so.
I love it. All right, so tomorrow night is Fan Appreciation Night. That's always, every experience at Bridgestone Arena is fantastic, but Fan Appreciation Night is great. Plaza activity starting at 5:30. Follow the Preds on social channels. See all these popular shirt off your backs. Can do it. That's always fun. I remember that, Michelle, from day one, you guys have done this, and it truly is. I think the players have as much fun on Fan Appreciation Night, Michelle, as the fans do.
You know what they do, and it is the weather is going to cooperate. It's going to be the perfect ending to our regular season home schedule and the perfect preparatory game to get excited about the playoffs. And, you know, as you said, shirts off our backs is one of the most popular things that we do in the course of a year. So be sure to tune in to Pred social channels to see how you can get involved in that ceremonial, very cool tradition that we have.
I love it. It's always a good time. Again, playoff tickets are available. Go to naturalpredators.com to see all the options there and to grab them before they're gone. Michelle, as always, thank you. I will see you tomorrow night at the arena. We always appreciate you coming on here and spreading the good word. Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks for having me, Big Joe. See you tomorrow.
Yes, ma'am. It's Michelle Kennedy, Natural Predators. And, again, the last home game of the regular season is tomorrow night versus Columbus. And go to that. And I tell you, I mean, the experience at a hockey game. And I tell people when they come to town, what should we do when we come to town? Go to Preds game. If you've never been to a hockey game, go to a hockey game. Experience all that. Have a lot of fun what you do when it goes on there, because it truly is a special time when you do all that. All right, we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home with a $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We come back. Our main man, Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders will join us. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel, a 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And she said, yes, we didn't go to church, but I got blessed. I knew my rent was gonna be later. Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show here at 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Thank you to Michelle Kennedy for joining us. Is our man on the line? Bring him up. Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders joins us today. Chris, how are you, buddy?
Man, I am doing good. How you doing, my brother? I like that song that you brought on. I thought you were going to play some Menudo or Backstreet Boys, but that's the way to start it off, man.
Oh, heard. Take it in for 10 seconds. Yeah, here you go.
Hey, I started dancing, but I think I hurt my hamstring, though.
that's your new bedroom entry song right there, man.
With some coaching shorts on with a tank top on.
Hey, I got to tell you real quick.
Sure.
Did you know Treylon Burks is fat?
No, he's not.
I heard you on Jared the other day.
Man, well, I wanted to wrestle Jared. I'm like, Jared, come on, man. You can't just look at a picture and say, oh, his cheeks. Let me tell you something. You can't say a guy is big because of cheeks, man. Come on. Like, really? But here's the thing, man. I really believe that he's in shape, and I'm going to tell you why. Because there's so many things that are at stake. I mean, they brought two other receivers. They got Cavarilli, they got Hop, and he automatically went to the third receiver. So you don't think that he's going to come in shape. You don't think that he's going to have a mindset of saying, you know, I need to prove to Brian Callahan, I need to prove to Mr. Tolbert, the wide receiver coach for the Tennessee Titans, that I can play this game. So there's a lot of things at stake.
Would you – we talked the other day about making him, you know, as an H-back. And I know if he's getting stronger. I mean, could he block? Could he go out of the slot?
Yeah.
Could he be a tight end? I mean, you've got to use him somehow.
Yeah, but I think he's going to have a good season this year. And the reason why I say he is because, you know, this is a great chance to where the pressure's off of him. And I, you know, when you get drafted in the first round, there's the different – type of pressure of, okay, I got to perform. I'm getting scrutinized every play. Now he can sit back and say, you know what? You know, I know they're counting on Calvin, really. They're counting on Hop, but I still got the potential and I still got the talent. Let me give you a perfect example. In 1998, you know, they were talking about that we didn't have no receivers. Houston Oilers last time didn't have no receivers, so they brought Kevin Dyson and Yancey Thigpen in. So I automatically went to the third receiver. So instead of me getting mad and getting, you know, cussing at the coaches and yelling, I said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to play so well that they have to play me. And I think, you know, Treylon Burks is going to have that same mentality.
What would you tell him if you had an hour with him? What would you tell him?
You know what I would do? I would, first of all, I would invite him over, sit him down, and push the playbook away. And I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna say. Listen, Treylon Burks, you have a lot of potential, but the thing about it is, man, you got to go out there and believe that you can do it. I mean, because right when he first came in the league, everybody was talking about he's injury prone, he can't do this and that. So the one thing I was sitting down and tell him that I believe in him, because that's all he needs. I'm telling you, it's all about somebody believing you. Brian Callahan can believe in you. You know, Tolbert can believe in you. You know, all the coaches say, you know, I believe in you, and your game will go to another level. Just like, you know, when Jerry Rice, you know, got drafted in the NFL. His first year, it was terrible. But it was a coach and a staff to say, you know, in spite of the season that you had, I still believe in you. And now he's one of the best receivers ever in the league.
All right, do we put too much on the fact that Callahan did not bring up Burks' name in his press conference the other day?
I think a lot of people are. But even though he didn't say his name, and I'm Treylon Burks, and I hear that, that's going to light a fire. I'm telling you, it's going to light a fire. So everybody's looking at it as a bad thing. Oh, he didn't say his name. But I guarantee you that when Treylon Burks steps on practice the first day, he is going to be running routes like his hair is on fire, because at the end of the day, he's a competitor. He's a guy that wants to win. He's a guy that says, you know what, I know people say I can't do it. They say that I'm injury prone. They say all this nasty stuff, but watch me this year. And I think that's the attitude that he's got to have.
I was going down looking at receivers in the NFL that have played longer than 15, 16 years, and there's guys you never heard of, like Ricky Prohl.
Oh, I remember that dude.
Played 17 years in the NFL. I mean, he played 244 games. But I'm saying, you know, at some point, and you're the perfect guy, you and Derek Mason asked this, at some point, when does technique take over speed?
No, it's listen, you know, that's the misconcept, is everybody thinks that, okay, if I run a 4.3 or 4.2, that it classifies me of being a great wide receiver. But there's a lot of guys who run 4.2 that don't know how to run routes. You know, when I first got in the league, you know, everybody saw me as a speed guy, a guy that could run 4.2 and run a 10.21 and 100. But there were some things that I need to know as in running routes. Well, I got to have a plan to the line of scrimmage, get the guy off the spot, lie with my eyes, chest over my knees, burst off the cut, all these things at the top of the route. So once I mastered the technique, then now my game went to a different level. And the one guy that I absolutely loved, it, in my opinion, has some of the best technique that I've ever seen, is Derek Mason. What Derek Mason does at the top of the route is explosive. He gets out of his cuts. He lies with his eyes. His technique is flawless. So when you have guys that are not fast, they get separation by their technique. And that's why Derek Mason, those guys that didn't have the top-end speed, were so successful.
All right, so would you put Burks at slot? Like, I went back and watched his highlight reel from Arkansas,
right,
and out of the slot, nobody could cover him.
No, but see, it's more than just running choice routes and running slants or running hitches or being a linebacker. If you put him in a slot, if you put him in a slot, he can run bubbles. He can run a speed sweep just to get the ball in his hands. Because you look at when he, I think it was a couple of years ago when they played Alabama. And Alabama, he caught a little screen and he took it 76 yards. And then he caught another bubble and took it like 40-something yards. So if I'm the offensive coordinator, if I'm a guy that's calling plays, then I'm going to put the kid in position to make sure that he succeeds. What does he do well? When the ball gets in his hands, he runs. He's good after the catch. Speed sweeps, bubbles, and quick screens. That's how we use him in the slot.
You know, I'm also looking up all these other receivers. I know injuries. If you don't get injured,
absolutely,
you play a long time. But you got guys like James Lofton, Andre Reed, Chris Carter. And if I remember, these guys didn't run 4.2s.
No, but their technique was flawless. Their technique was outstanding. And another guy that wasn't fast, who I absolutely love, I think you named him, was Chris Carter. Chris Carter probably maybe ran a 4.6, but you watch what he does at the line. You watch how, you know, he runs to the spot. You watch how he lies with his eyes. You watch how he has a game plan at the line of scrimmage. And it just shows you that you don't have to run a 4.3 or 4.2 to be successful, because at the end of the day, it's about creating separation. How do I create separation? At the line of scrimmage, getting a DB's hips locked away from where I'm going, lying with my eyes, you know, burst off the cut, beat me back to the spot, to the ball. All these things that create separation. So, you know, I get upset because all of a sudden you see a kid comes in, he's 6'3", 6'4", and he runs a 4.2, and they automatically say he's a great receiver. It's not true. He can't get off the press, and he can't run routes. It's the whole thing that you need to be a great wide receiver.
Exactly. I spent some time with Colton Dow last couple weeks ago, seventh-round draft choice. He's from Mount Juliet, played at UT Martin.
Mount Juliet.
And we were talking about on the team, and he's like, man, I love – we're talking about the new kickoff rule. And he's like, man, I love it. That's how I can contribute to this team. And watching him talk about contributing to the team, not as a wide receiver, but as a very integral part of special teams, was kind of eye-opening, because here's a guy that he's a receiver. He wants to catch passes. He knows it's a crowded room. But he also, at the same time, Chris realizes, hey, I can make this team be a good factor for these guys on special teams. Do a lot of guys not understand this?
A lot of guys don't. They think that, okay, if I come in a wide receiver, then I just can play wide receiver. But here's the thing. Just imagine if Chris Sanders and a guy named Eric came in, and they were both great wide receivers. They come in, and, you know, their skill set was exactly the same. But then you have Eric over here that plays punt return, that plays kickoff return, that plays all these other positions. He's more valuable than a guy that plays one position. So when you have a wide receiver like Dow that has a crowded wide receiver room, the more you can do, the more you can stay. And that's what made D. Mace so valuable with the Tennessee Titans, because he just wasn't a receiver. He was valuable at punt return. He was valuable at kickoff return. So now you got a guy that has a similar talent as Derek Mason, but the reason why they keep Derek Mason because he plays so many different positions, and that's why Colton Dow understands how big it is.
Do you have to check your ego at the door?
You got to check. But see, here's the thing. Yeah, you have to check your ego, but here's the thing that we got to understand. Just imagine, only 1% of people make it in the NFL. So if they say you play special teams or kickoff return in the NFL, that means you're a 1%er. You see what I'm saying? So it's not that you're playing Little League Pop Warner and you have the one-bar face mask. No.
Right.
Yeah, but you're in the NFL and you're a freaking 1%er. So if they ask me to play kickoff return, you know, why would I have an attitude when I'm making $560,000 to run down and tackle somebody and hit them in the snoot? Come on, man.
I'd do that for $50,000 a year.
Exactly. I had the one-bar face mask, the big knee pads, everything.
A prime example is he just retired, but Matthew Slater played for the Patriots, played 16 years in it. He was drafted as a wide receiver of UCLA, knew he wouldn't be a receiver, and became a special teams guy and just might be the best special teams guy of all time.
Yeah, but you know the other guy from remember the Dallas Cowboys? They call him, was it Ruth? I can't remember his name. But he played fullback. He's a commentator. I can't remember his name.
Oh, Daryl Johnston.
Daryl Johnston. I mean, he did a little bit of special teams, and that's why he was so successful, because he played fullback, but also he played every special teams. And I look back at my career, you know, I wasn't a great returner. I wasn't a punt returner, because you got to have a totally different mentality. But I would love to run down there on kickoff, weighing 170 pounds, trying to tackle somebody. I wish I can do that.
Exactly. Jeez. All right. So the Titans did their offseason workouts. They started Monday. How much I know he's only his second year, but is this now Will Levis's locker room? Is this now Will Levis's team?
I really believe it is, because the thing about it is he's the guy now. He doesn't have to worry about, okay, if, you know, Ryan Tannehill or any other quarterback is going to come in and take his position. And I think he's going to have a better season this year, because now we always talk about players taking ownership, and now he can take ownership. And ownership is not running around and telling everybody what to do. Taking ownership and saying, you know, okay, you know what, let's take this, let's take what we have and let's learn and build at it. So, you know, he's learning this guy. He's got new faces in the building. But once they get camaraderie, once they learn each other, once they spend time, then he understands that we're going to take ownership as a team, but not as an individual.
When did you came in the same draft as Steve McNair, right?
Yes, the third, yes.
When did he take over? When Chandler left? Because I know Steve was a very humble guy.
Yeah, he was a very humble guy. And I think the first 2 years, you know, it was very frustrating for Steve McNair, because he came from Alcorn, you know, the star and everything. Then now you have to sit and learn. I think that when he really took ownership, and this is just my opinion, is when he won the MVP with the Ravens. I mean, and the reason why, was it the Ravens? No, it was, I'm sorry, not the Ravens, the Titans.
When he won 03. He cut 03. With Peyton Manning. He shared it, yes.
Exactly. When he won it, that's when I think he took ownership, because the one thing that he understood is he wasn't afraid to make a mistake. You know, when he first got in the league, he wanted to please the coaches so well and do so well that he wasn't McNair-ish. But once he came back to McNair-ish and said, you know what, I'm not afraid to make a mistake, I'm going to take a chance, then that's when his career took off. Great, great quarterback, and he should be a Hall of Famer one day.
Was that all weird between him? Because Chris Chandler couldn't stand him.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, they couldn't stand each other. It's like a pit bull and a gerbil. I mean, they did not like each other. Let me rephrase this. It wasn't Steve McNair that didn't like Chris Chandler. Chris Chandler didn't like Steve McNair because the threat of him taking his job, and everybody feels that. But at the end of the day, you know, don't you want the competition? I mean, those guys would come to the sidelines and they wouldn't even talk to each other.
Ugh.
And I think that is, can I just be real with you? That's, If I'm a starting quarterback, and I say this respectfully, I'm never going to disrespect Chris Chandler, but if I'm a starting quarterback in the NFL and I'm pouting because they're bringing some competition in, then that's the immaturity and insecurity that you have. It's not Steve McNair. Steve McNair had it with great, great class.
Well, what was it like, though, when you got to a crowded wide receiver room? And when you're bringing these guys, you know, talk about Yancey Thigpen and Kevin Dyson. And I know, you know, we're all human. Your feelings were a little hurt. But at the same time, you're like, all right, we're going to do this together. Was there a talk? Was there a come together? How was that like?
Let me give you the whole scenario. When they were doing the draft in 1998, and when they said some bad things on me, you know, during the draft, Chris Sanders, whatever, he's this and that, my feelings were hurt. I mean, I was pissed. I was sitting in my basement with tears in my eyes. Like, I started 2 years before that, and y'all going to say this negative stuff. So as an individual, this is what I had to do, is I had to tell my emotions to shut up. And my emotion said, oh, the coach did that. I said, nope, shut your mouth. And what we're going to do is we're going to work hard. We're going to do everything we did. So now we get into the receiver room. It's crowded. You got Derek Mason. You got Isaac Byrd. You got Yancey Dickman. You got Kevin Dyson, who's a first rounder. But here's the thing that was so beautiful about the whole thing. If guys, those guys in that locker room loved each other. So if Dyson caught five passes, I caught one, Derek caught zero, nobody cared. We was just excited about being around each other, and that's why we won in 99, because nobody cared. Everybody knew their role. They knew that I'll catch a pass once in a while. Dyson will catch some once in a while. Mason might not catch none. But at the end of the day, we loved each other in that room, and our whole vision was to get to the Super Bowl, and that's why we went in 1999.
We call that a team.
That's the team.
Right.
But you know what we did? And this is the last thing. Did you know what we did? Because my wife says this all the time. She says, Chris, when you live your life now, you got to live it intentional. And the reason why I say that is when we were in that receiver room, we loved each other intentional. Derek encouraged me. Dyson would encourage me. I would encourage each other because we did it intentional. And when you love somebody intentional, it will work. So that's what I wanted to say.
Let me ask you this before we let you go. Sure. I know the offseason workouts are going on. If a guy, if they're voluntary and a guy is not there, how does that play inside? Because we could say all the niceties, like, oh, that's okay.
Sure.
But does it mean a little something when they're not there and you're all, you know, kind of sweating together at the same time if there's not really a great excuse why he's not there?
Yeah, but if I'm a leader on a team, then I'm going to call them. I know they have their individual workouts and they do their own thing, but if we're going to build camaraderie, then we need to be there. Like when I came in 1995 and I played the Houston Oilers / Tennessee Titans, like you have a Blaine Bishop, a Marcus Robinson, you know, a Jackson, Stevie Jackson. You didn't have to say anything. You just knew that we had to be there. And I just think it's a different era. The guys, I want my own trainer. I want to do yoga, which is absolutely great.
Right.
But if we're going to build camaraderie, we build a team, then we all got to be there because I got to get to know you. And I think that's why it's slipping off a little bit.
Do you still hold the long jump record at Ohio State?
Yes, sir. Indoors, 26.9. I hope I got nominated this year to be in the Track and Field Hall of Fame. So pray that I get in, but it's still in there.
Well, no. I want the outdoor. I don't care about the indoor.
No, indoor is harder. I didn't get the outdoor. I'm ranked, and I think I'm number 4 of all time at Ohio State. But indoors, I'm ranked number 1.
Now, did you break Jesse Owens' record?
Jesse Owens' long jump record in 1992. I didn't know I did it. After I jumped, my coach said, you know what you just did? I said, what are you talking about, coach? He said, you just broke Jesse Owens' long jump record. Had a bad haircut when I did it, too. It was awful.
That's just it's just amazing. I mean, it's almost indescribable. That's amazing.
It's a blessing. I don't mean to get emotional. I know we got to take a commercial.
That's right.
That record, you know why that record means so much to me in 1992? Because at the beginning of that year, I had to sit out. The year before, I had to sit out because I was ineligible for football. Then the next year, and I couldn't run track. Then the next year, I got hurt. And then that year, I was this close to coming home. I said, Mom, I can't take this anymore. I want to go home. I can't. This hurts too much. And I went out for track. The first meet, I jumped 25-2. I'm like, okay, whatever. Next meet, I jumped 26-2. The third meet, I jumped 26-9.
Ooh.
And it always reminds me that even when you want to quit, there's a blessing right around the corner. And that's why that record means so much to me.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I don't have any records, but when I was at junior college playing, I got homesick and I called my mom. She's like, that's great, honey. You're not coming home. And I was like, what? She's like, I'll help you find a place to live, but you're not coming home. And that's, I was like, you know what? And it changed my life. I mean, that was tough love from Mom to – because if I would have come home – if you would have gone home, Chris Sanders, you'd still be in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, doing nothing.
Yep.
Just doing nothing, getting in trouble, man. That's why that record means so much to me. And can I say one more thing? And I know we got to go.
Yeah, always.
Just like with this record, this is why I love this record. Because after I broke the record, I did a study on Jesse Owens. He went to the 1936 Berlin Olympics, and here's the great part about it is he went through a lot of adversity. He went through a lot of racism, and when he walked into the stadium booed him, and Hitler, they all booed him. They wouldn't say nothing. They wouldn't stand up. So the guy wins 4 gold medals, and my God in heaven, the same crowd that booed him had to stand up and give him a standing ovation.
Woo!
So what I'm saying to you is when people say bad stuff about you or you go through adversity, the same people that laughed at you are going to have to sit and give you a standing ovation.
Beautiful. You're a beautiful man, Chris Sanders.
I love you, brother, man. You done got me all excited, dangummit.
Always. Thank you, man.
Love you, brother.
All right. Okay, all right. See you, buddy. Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver. Always love having him on. Hey, the Masters is underway. Our 2024 Masters leaderboard update is brought to you by Burger Republic. Go try their limited time green jacket burger. We need one of those, Dr. Crane. Then we need Burger Republic to bring us a green jacket burger for a true Masters experience. Again, Masters leaderboard update brought to you by Burger Republic. Go try the limited time green jacket burger for a true Masters experience. You're listening to the Chase and Big Joe Show, brought to you by Omni Natural Hotel. Coming back on the next break, we're going to give away the winner. You're on an all-inclusive suite for the Jeff Dunham Show on Sunday. So many people register for this. We'll give you the winner when we come back next. Right here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, welcome back to the final hour of the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, our winner for the Jeff Dunham Sunday in an all-inclusive suite. I should have registered for this, Dr. Crane.